First, we're taking a closer look at the fruit that's taken America by storm in recent years, the avocado. At one point, avocados were specialty food, but now they're big business. It's estimated that Americans ate about 4.25 billion avocados just last year. And in a telling sign of the times, the industry organization Avocados from Mexico actually ran a Super Bowl ad this year.
So it's fair to say Americans can't get enough of the little green fruit, but it's coming at a cost. That's according to our next guest, who says avocados are on an unstable trajectory, and it's causing problems for farmers in Mexico and here at home.
So what do we need to know about the avocado before enjoying that next helping of guacamole on our burrito? Well, Dan Stone is here with us now to tell us. He's a reporter for National Geographic who's been covering what's been going on with avocados. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Veronica.
Dan, just how popular are avocados right now?
More popular than ever. As you said in your intro, 4.25 billion avocados. If you think about how many Americans there are, just over 300 million, that's a lot of avocados. And the growth is pretty staggering. For the past 5 years, avocado consumption has risen between 10 and 30% every year, which is one reason why the price of avocados in your supermarket has also risen, because the supply cannot keep up with that rate of demand.
Now, this wasn't always the case. When I was growing up, people were not nuts about avocados the way they are right now. What changed? What's driving it?
Well, a few things. One you mentioned was a marketing campaign, which marketing doesn't affect everything we buy, but it certainly helps. The other thing is avocados, over the past 3 years, earned this elusive title of a superfood. And we've heard it attached to other foods before, acai berries, quinoa, right? These indigenous foods in parts of the world, usually Central and South America, that have existed for centuries, millennia, grown by indigenous people. Suddenly, they're found to be extra attractive for their nutritional qualities. In avocados' case, it's for their healthy monounsaturated fats and their oils. And so once you become a superfood, they start flying off the shelves, and the indigenous people who grow these crops and have for so long suddenly have to keep up with demand and really tax their land because of the high dollar amounts their crops can demand.
I want to talk a little bit more about avocado history, and then we'll get into more of what's going on right now. But for one thing, the avocado is a berry. Who knew? I had no idea that the avocado was a berry. But can you give us a little bit more about the history of the avocado?
Sure. The avocado botanically is a fruit, and it is a berry under that classification. Berries are just something that a plant does to attract something to eat it, because fruits want their seeds to be eaten and then excreted somewhere else so that they can grow. With strawberries, you have little birds that are attracted to the sweet red flesh. With avocados, the species that used to eat avocados has been extinct for about 2 million years. They were these large elephant-like creatures called gomphotheres, very large, like mammoths, and they would eat the avocados whole. And you know how big those seeds are, so they can eat and digest one of those seeds whole, and then poop it out somewhere else to grow new avocado trees. When they went extinct, these big elephant-like creatures, the avocados found a way to endure for 2 million more years, and that's why we still have them today. But there really is no botanical requirement for avocados to still exist.
Hmm. Well, so you pointed out, you know, that this is not entirely a good news story. Avocados are tasty. I'm glad they're around. But it seems as though the boom right now is not necessarily a great thing for avocado producers in Mexico, where most avocados come from. Can you tell us a little bit more about why this is not always a good news story?
Sure, absolutely. More avocados come from Mexico than anywhere in the world. The U.S. and Indonesia both produce some, but Mexico produces about 10 times more. It takes a lot of water to produce avocados. We've heard a lot about almonds, chickpeas in the past few weeks with the drought in California. Avocados aren't far behind. To give you an idea, it takes about 100 gallons of water to produce a pound of avocados, and that's two avocados generally to a pound. So it's about 50 gallons of water per avocado. That's about filling your bathtub up every time you want to eat an avocado. And for these farmers in parts of Mexico, water is not plentiful. It is not flowing in the way that it can be consistent. So what they're doing is having to find new sources of water to tap wells at higher and higher altitudes, and really in an unsustainable way. What they're finding is because you and I are paying $1 to $1.50 per avocado, that is too valuable to delay. They want to do whatever they can with their land, and it taxes it very, very hard. The other side is with organized crime in Mexico. We've heard of these drug cartels that deal with hard drugs, cocaine and heroin. In recent years, because of the elusiveness of some of these top-tier foods, I'm talking about avocados, and particularly limes also, these cartels have gotten into the business of trafficking these crops, and that provides them a more an actual legal product that they can use to extort money from farmers.
And so I read in your piece that some of these cartels refer to avocados and maybe limes as green gold.
Oro verde, exactly. That they use this as a tool, and they don't have to get their hands on as many hard drugs as they used to because avocados are ubiquitous. They're part of the culture, and they've been around forever.
We're talking right now with Dan Stone from National Geographic. He's talking about America's love affair with the avocado and why it might not be such a good thing and why demand may outstrip supply as well. And we're talking about the water use that's involved in avocados, 100 gallons of water for about 2 avocados, roughly. So what does that mean as we look at drought issues in California, some avocados produced there? And also, should we be having guacamole guilt at this point?
That wouldn't be a bad idea, but good luck with that. I don't think many people feel guilty about guacamole. What we've seen in California is that some of these farmers, when they're really taxed with their water usage, they are shifting some of the crops from water-intensive crops like avocados, chickpeas, and almonds to less water-intensive ones, grapes, tomatoes, and even some tubers and citrus. In a place like Mexico, it's a harder equation because avocados are so central to the agricultural economy. You know, I think what the future will be is agricultural research, finding an avocado variety, a new type of seed that can grow with less water, perhaps in less rich soil and in more erratic climates. And that's going to take some research from agribusiness companies and from avocado breeders. That will take time. It will also take money. And I think a lot of the money for that research will be passed along to consumers like you and me.
Now, is the kind of avocado that we get from California or Florida the same as the one we get from Mexico?
The main avocado we eat is called the Haas avocado. We've all heard of that one. That mainly comes out of Mexico and California. Florida grows a different avocado that you've maybe seen. It's got a very smooth skin and a deep, dark brown color. That avocado is also eaten, but it's the Haas that's considered the global celebrity.
And in terms of those scientific advances you're hoping for that may help breed a less water-intensive avocado, is there a hot spot? Are there people who are actively working on this right now?
A lot of the work and research is being done in California. The Haas Avocado Board is in California, and a lot of these farmers have the money and the industry backing, especially with the high price of avocados, to do that research. You know, this is agricultural research that gets done with all sorts of crops, how to make rice that can grow in floods and in droughts, how to grow corn in different soil conditions. Avocados will find a way to adapt, but I don't think it'll be quick, and it certainly won't be cheap for those of us who enjoy them.
Now, we've got, as you said, a little bit of domestic avocado production going on, Florida and California. Is it possible that those regions could just step up to meet the demand for avocados?
Well, both of those regions have their own demands and their own problems, certainly with water in California. You know, California is one of the richest agricultural areas on the planet. Avocados are, fortunately and unfortunately, a tropical fruit. So you're really looking at parts of Southern California, parts of Southern Florida, and maybe parts of Hawaii to really grow it. But, you know, in an agricultural economy that is now increasingly global, does it make sense to grow more in California, or does it make sense to investigate perhaps ways that they could be grown in Indonesia or China or in some of the Pacific Islands where both labor and agricultural conditions are more favorable?
And Dan, just briefly as we wrap up, if you see it as an issue of social responsibility, should we be buying avocados from a particular region, only from the United States or from a particular region of Mexico? How do we buy responsibly?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, as much as these farmers and this land is taxed in California and in Mexico, you know, the avocado craze really is creating a market. It's creating a very lucrative market for people who might not otherwise have that income. So overall, yeah, we should be eating as many fresh fruits and vegetables as farmers can produce. And Mexico, California, it doesn't matter quite as much as we're providing a market for this to exist and an incentive for these crops to be grown perhaps elsewhere in the world to cash in on a lot of this.
Dan, thanks a lot for joining us.